Hello, and welcome back to In the Loop. I'm your host, Ed Edens, and today I'm going to be giving a good friend of mine a call, Scott Clay, and we're going to talk about a wide variety of topics from the upcoming baseball season, and we'll probably place a few wagers along the way. Let's give him a call.
Hello?
Scotty,
Yo, Ed.
what's going on, man?
Not much.
I'd like to talk about some of these board bets we got going this year. You want to give a little background on our tradition?
Sure. We started, what, 2 years ago? We kind of took it from the ESPN podcast with the Fantasy Focus, and we always heard Nate and Nancy Berry always throwing around little bets about what kind of what their predictions were, projections were for the regular season, and we were just like, hey, that's sounds like a good idea for something that we could maybe tailor more towards our fantasy baseball league and kind of a way to keep things exciting, fuel our gambling tendencies, and have a little fun, because I know our league's a little different in terms of points and all that stuff.
Well,
So yeah.
I was just gonna say, I think it was less of being inspired by the podcast and more of fueling our gambling tendencies.
Exactly.
But yeah, so basically, we pick a statistic or some sort of result that we think may or may not happen for the upcoming season, and then you basically take one side, I take the other side, and then whatever ends up happening, that person gets 1 point. Whoever was right, and then at the end of the year, whoever has the more points gets some sort of sports memorabilia, a signed card, or some sort of a cool thing you can get for cheap off of eBay, and it gives it to the winner.
Something that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Something that makes you feel warm and fuzzy. What did I get you last year? Because you won by, I think it was 19-18. It was really close.
It was an absolute epic battle. I think my prize was a Matt Moore signed rookie card or something
The man,
along the lines of that.
was it Clayton?
No, Clayton was a couple of, I think it was about a year ago. I'm pretty sure it was a Matt Moore signed card.
Okay, nice. Yeah,
Yeah.
well,
So it
so
was a
these,
pretty awesome prize.
yeah, these prizes are no joke.
No.
We take it seriously, but yeah, it was ridiculous. I think I was winning 18-17, and for some reason, you won. One, oh, it was you thought Brian Mattis was gonna have an ERA under like 4.2 or something absurd like that after having an ERA like in the tens, and
Oh
but
yeah.
we put a minimum innings pitched threshold on there at like 110, and he ended up throwing 104 innings, so that one
And wasn't
it
didn't
didn't count.
qualify.
Yeah, so it didn't qualify. And then we had that Greinke was gonna score 150 more points than Anibal Sanchez,
That's
and
it.
and I made this bet when they were like even in points, and I thought Greinke was gonna win that. I took Greinke's side,
Yeah.
and then he's dominating Sanchez, and then Sanchez throws a what do you have, like a complete game shutout and another 8 inning, like 10
I
strikeout
remember
game.
the day because that was what put me over the edge. I was like, "Oh, hey, Ed, what do you know? Anibal Sanchez just threw a complete game shutout, and it actually made it really close. I think it was like he was within like 140 something points, but it was within 10 points of swinging that bet completely. So
Yeah,
it was."
I think Greinke was winning by like 190, and then that game got him to like 145. And I want to say Greinke had like a scratch start or something, or because the Angels weren't in it, he didn't make his last start. It was,
Yeah.
I got screwed, and I wasn't happy about it, but
Hey,
what
I
are you
was
gonna
more
do?
proud of how close that was because I felt like I made a lot of concessions last year that I wasn't comfortable with, and this year I'm not gonna be playing. I'm not gonna let you push me around.
Yeah, you made bad bets. I was very, very confident heading into
I
the year.
know.
I thought I was gonna win at least like, 3-1, but whatever. It's a new year. This is 2013, and
Exactly. New
we have some
expectations.
bets. Yeah, new expectations. We got some bets kind of prepared. We threw some ideas back and forth, been emailing a little bit, and we got this list. We'll see what we can kind of agree on, but well, why don't we start off with your list? You got a ton of different ones, and a lot of these, you know, they relate to the guys that we have on our fantasy keeper teams, guys that we like to follow, and some of them don't even have anything to do with baseball. So we'll see how that goes. Why don't we start with that one? I think you say in here the Lakers are going to make the playoffs. I would love to take that one if you still think that's going to happen.
This was probably, I feel like, you know, the fantasy baseball fever starts way too prematurely, and I think I made this list over winter break, which was probably 2 months ago, but I still stand by my Lakers making the playoffs. I think we're 3 games out as of tonight behind Houston for that eighth spot, so I'm willing to put it on the board right now if you are.
All right, I'll put it on the board. I'll take that one. All right, so now on to some baseball. That was enough non-baseball talk.
That was enough non-baseball for the podcast. We're in season now.
All right, you think Chris Medlin's going to win 15 games?
I do.
Are you still sticking with that one? You're a believer?
Everything I put 2 months ago, I'm willing to stand behind, because I hope that I wasn't making some blind bets, but I'm willing to stand by that.
All right. Then I'll take that one. I think he's going to burn out. He's going to have a DL stint. He's going to increase his innings a little bit too much, and not enough though to get him 15 wins.
I mean, I feel like, you know, there's definitely regression. I mean, what did he hit? He had like a sub. I have it right here, a 0.97 ERA in 12 turns plus 10 quality starts, which is unbelievably ridiculous. But so I see regression in there. But looking at the pieces that the Braves have been able to add this off season, along with you know, I don't know if I think Turner Field's pretty, you know, neutral in terms of pitcher hitter advantage, but I feel like we got the next coming of Greg Maddux right here, and I'm willing to stand by 15 big wins for this guy.
Okay, is there some way we can bet on whether or not he's the next coming of Greg Maddux? Because I think that's absurd, but I'll take that bet.
Disclaimers with everything talking about our own fantasy guys, we're going to just have blind just devotion to everyone on our team. So when you say things like that, you know, it's probably a little over the top, but you know, these are the guys you got to stand behind to bring home the trophy at the end of the year. So maybe I wouldn't go far as the next coming of Greg Maddux, because was he the last one of the last 300 game winners that we've had? Might be one of the last ones.
I want to say Randy Johnson won his after Maddux, but I think Randy Johnson's the last one. But I mean, they might be two of the last ones we see, unless CeCe can pitch until he's like 42, or there was somebody else I want to say was on that list. I'm not remembering. Oh, if Jamie Moyer is the closest, I think. I don't know if he's officially retired, but I think he has 277 or 280 or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyways, let's move on. You say Matt Garza is going to throw 200 innings. I don't think there's any way he throws 200 innings, so I'm absolutely taking that one. Fun fact, Garza has never thrown more than 204 and two-thirds innings in his career. And that was in a season in which he pitched 33 games, started 32 of them. So, yeah, definitely taking that.
Yeah, I mean, he's had two 200-plus inning seasons. I mean, I feel like his first full year was in 2008, so he's had 3 or 4 opportunities, gotten pretty close 3 of the 4 years. I mean, the strained lat muscle or whatever he's dealing with now doesn't bode well for the karma going into this season. But, I mean, I think with the Cubs, I don't think they're willing to put the kid gloves on him. I mean, I know he had a little bit of the elbow trouble last year, but I think they said, I saw a tweet out today, he's throwing at 90%, and Dale Swain said if he's pitching by tomorrow, if he's throwing, which he probably will, I don't see him missing any time to start the season off. So as long as there's no more setbacks, I'm willing to stand behind the 200 innings. I mean, if he can be efficient with his pitches and pitching in the NL, especially the NL Central, we got the free swingers of the world with the Jay Bruces out there, so I figure that'll keep the pitch count down a little bit, but maybe I'll stretch him out.
All right. Well, I mean, I think we can maybe even do another board bet here. Do you think he One, do you think he gets traded? Two, do you think he lands on the DL at any point?
I mean, do I see a DL stint out of Matt Garza? I mean, I don't know if I'm willing to put a board bet down on it with that certainty. I mean, I'd probably lean towards no, but I don't think I'd put a board bet on it. In terms of being traded, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think Theo's shown that he's willing to make moves, especially with the Scott Baker signing, Scott Feldman. Those are guys he's definitely going to be looking to flip for minor league talent, hopefully selling high by the All-Star break. So I think if he's in a selling mood and Matt Garza's pitching well, I could definitely see him getting moved. So I lean towards yes.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely getting traded. So don't really think we're making any more bets there. Let's start burning through some of these because, I mean, it's we don't want to be on the phone here for 5 hours.
No, yeah, for sure.
You think Matt Moore will be a top 20 pitcher, starting pitcher for fantasy points. One thing I want to clarify, when we talk about fantasy points, you know, they're kind of along our own league rules, but it's standard. You know, you get a point for every out, a bonus point for a strikeout, minus 2 points for an earned run, minus a point for a walk, a hit batter, a hit. what am I forgetting? Oh, you got bonus points, 10 points for a win, 10 points for a save, 5 points for a complete game, 5 points for a shutout. Is there anything else on there I'm forgetting?
I don't think so. I, you know, the disclaimer for, I mean, it depends who you talk to, but, you know, I feel like this league's definitely, you know, a little swayed towards the pitcher side. It's definitely a league that's swayed towards the numbers. Like, guys that strike out a lot of guys are going to be scoring a ton of points. Closers are going to be valuable, too. But I think you covered the major bases with starting pitching.
Right. And then for hitting, there's no way to score negative points. But, you know, point for a single, two points for double, three for triple, four homer, one for an RBI, one for a run, two for a stolen base, one for a hit by pitch. And one for a walk. I think that's it.
Yeah, one for a walk too. So definitely swayed towards the guys that can hit that double-digit home run and stolen base. Those are the guys that we definitely like to see.
Absolutely. Okay. So you think he's gonna be a top 20 guy for starting pitchers specifically in fantasy points? I'm willing to take that because I think he's right on the edge. But I don't think he's making that stride this year, so I'm taking that.
Okay, yeah, and that's one I'm absolutely willing to stand by for sure.
And you said he's also going to be an all-star. Are you standing by that?
Yeah, I think he's going to be an all-star too. I mean, I think this is the year for him. I think the expectations were a little high after his big, performance against the Yankees, and then going into the playoffs and pitching really well. He struggled a lot with his fastball command last year, which led to some higher pitch counts. He wasn't worked deeper into games, but I think with a guy like him, he's got the makeup, you know, he's got the build, he's, you know, got an easy delivery. Shout out to CJ Esposito, great arm side run. He's definitely a guy that I think is going to take that step this year and step up to the elite.
All right, I'm not taking that bet because I agree. I don't think he's going to be a top 20 starting pitcher for points, but I think he will get that all-star nod. You think Adam Wainwright is going to have an ERA under 3.5 and a WHIP under 1.2. I completely agree. I think he had a great season coming off of his TJ recovery. He missed all of 2 years ago. I think it
all
was
2 years ago coming off TJ. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm taking that. I mean, he's an ace for that card staff. You think Matt Wieters is going to have more than 25 homers and you say 95 RBIs. Do you mean more than 95 RBIs?
Yeah, more than 95 RBIs. That's kind of the plateaus I'm setting, the baselines I'm setting for Matt this year.
All right, let me take a look at his stats. I think he's going to hit that 25 homer plateau, but I'm not sure if he makes that RBI total. He will have Machado in the lineup with him. I actually read an article today. The Orioles are bringing back basically everyone except Mark Reynolds. So,
yeah, I mean they
and they get a full season out of Machado and who's their second baseman that's been injured forever?
Brian Roberts.
Ryan Roberts. Somebody said that he's looking good this spring. So I don't really, know if he's in the picture. I mean,
the thing you take out of spring training. The thing you take out of spring training with a grain of salt is everyone's in the best shape of their lives. Everyone looks the best they've looked in 10 years. So it's hard.
You know that's not true. That's everybody comes into spring training and they're like, oh, he's 10 pounds overweight. He forgot to finish his conditioning program.
Really.
I mean, there's a ton of people that are in bad shape.
It's always this guy's in the best shape of his life. I've seen, you see it 9 times out of 10 that the guy's in the best shape of his life.
I wish we could make a board bet on that.
I wish we could have a board bet on that, but it's not possible.
Right. I'm going to take that 95 RBIs and the 25 homers because you're taking both criteria. But
you're willing to put that on the board?
Yeah, I don't think he gets 95 RBIs.
Okay. I mean, I made a huge list here, so if we want to flip-flop between yours and mine, I don't have your list in front of me, so if you kind of want to throw you.
I got both here. We'll flip around. You think Anthony Rizzo is going to hit over 290? I agree. I'm not taking that one. I think he hits between 290 and 300 again. He's going to slow down in the second half, but I think, honestly, it's not a stretch for him to hit 290 with 30 homers.
And we all know Ed's got that underlying Cubs bias too. With Anthony Rizzo. Was a Southsider? Absolutely no way.
What are you talking about underlying?
I shouldn't say underlying whatsoever. It's the most blatant Cubs bias ever.
Absolutely a bias, and I wear it on my sleeve. So,
hey,
you should use that to your advantage in these board bets somehow.
I will. We should say with I don't know if I had a Starlin Castro one, but did you hear the news of his little hamstring injury today?
Oh God, what?
I'm glad I'm breaking this to you right on the pod. There was a little he came up limp on hustling one out to first base. I guess it's a little hamstring tightness, and doesn't sound too serious, but if you're willing to put that blatant Cubs bias to the test, let's throw some Starlin Castro board bets out there.
Oh God, Scott, you just ruined my day.
Hey, it's my job, man. I gotta find something to tear you down a little bit.
Not only is he the future of the Cubs franchise, the one and only thing that I love, but he's also on my fantasy team. The other thing that I love besides the Cubs. Oh my God, this is terrible. I mean, I'm sure it's not a big deal, but I don't need to see that right now.
You know, you don't like hammy injuries. Those things can linger, and especially when you get those big bold DTD lines next to or letters next to your player. You know, that's
almost worse than DL. I think the worst one is the 60-day DL. And then, like, when you see those little red letters next to the fantasy player and you just know he's going to be out of commission for half the year. But those day-to-day letters, I hate those things.
I think they should switch the 60-day DL one to a little skull and crossbones just to really make you feel like you want to kill yourself.
It's like a death sentence.
If
your guy that's on the 60-day is a huge part of that fantasy team, I mean, you might still make the playoffs, but
I mean, I still have nightmares of Brandon Webb 60-day DL. They would have been better off just putting skull and crossbones next to him because that was just how I felt at the time.
How long did you have him on your team before his injury? And was that the first? It was the first four innings of 2009.
Yeah, I think so.
And then he has yet to pitch a major league inning since then. I think he officially retired a month or so ago. Didn't he?
Yeah, this offseason he officially hung it up.
God, that's depressing. Yeah, you had him. Horse. What you had him from? Did you have him from the beginning until you traded him?
I don't think we had him during a Cy Young year. We might have, which was 2006.
I thought it was. Oh, maybe 2007, maybe.
Yeah, or something like that. And then I think we had him for one, maybe two really good years. Then the shoulder injury, the cleanouts, and all that. And then held on to him for another 2 years. And I finally was able to phone him off for one of our defunct owners for Robinson Cano. So
yeah,
I smile nice. on it smiles on me at the end of the day, Brandon Webb. His bed corpse was helpful for something.
Well, I had a similar situation with Johan. I traded for him, I think, 4 years ago. I gave, what did I do? I gave Don Joe Mauer. Don gave CJ Brian Mattis. And CJ gave me Johan, I think. Yeah, that's how it was. And so, I mean, three of the most bullheaded guys in the league when it comes to trades pull off a three-way trade. And then did Mauer ever, Mauer won the MVP 1 year, didn't he? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he might have.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you have a former Cy Young and a stud catcher, and these are at the height of their powers, and then that's when Brian Mattis was the best pitching prospect in the game, so huge deal. And then Mauer goes on the DL for the better part of the next year or so. Johan obviously messes up his shoulder, misses the entire year, and then barely comes back, and then also the next year, which was last year in 2012, re-injures his arm after throwing a perfect game. So, I don't know.
Mattis has sucked too, so that trade,
and
which was huge at the time, has turned out to be a complete wash.
Right. I think Don got Mauer. He definitely won, but I don't know. It's just one of those things. Johan, I couldn't let go of him because, you know, he's not old enough that you're willing to give up, but shoulder injuries are so terrible. And now this year he looks like he might be a decent contributor to my team, but it's been such a terrible couple of years holding him on one of my DL spots. But
hey, speaking of the man, do you want to throw a little board bets on how many innings we think this guy's going to get out of that bum shoulder?
On Johan?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll make a bet. I'd say, you throw out an innings total. What do you think?
I think him getting to 150 innings this year would be the stretch. I think if you took the over on 150, I would take the under.
I mean, I kind of want to take the under on that too. Are you willing to go any lower?
How low can you get me? I'd be willing to wiggle like five innings, maybe, but
give me 142 innings, and I'll take the over.
142 innings.
Yeah,
I can do that. Let's do that.
All right, you say Johan under 142 innings, and I say over. Do you want to make it like 142 and between 142 and 142 and a third?
What, just so we don't have any ties?
Yeah, so I don't have any ties.
Sure, no problem.
Okay. I'm just writing this down. All right, okay. So now we got that. Going on, you got Giancarlo Stanton will have over 40 homers. I think that's a given.
Absolutely given.
I think he's going to take out his anger against the Marlins on the ball this year and just hit 45 to 50 bombs, so...
I think they should just maybe like strap Jeffrey Loria in a chair into that crazy carnival contraption he's got in center field and see if Giancarlo can hit him with a home run.
he'll hit it past him.
I think people would actually come to a game that had that kind of stunt going on.
That's a stretch. We could bet on them. We could bet on the Marlins' attendance. It's going to be pitiful.
Well, I think they said I read an article that they only have about 5,000 season ticket holders coming.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, what do they have? Didn't they sell, was it 1.2 or 1.5 million total tickets last year?
I think it was 1.3, and that was, like, way under their projection.
Yeah, I heard it was a million tickets under their projected sales.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So I'd be willing to bet that they attract less than 1.1 million fans.
The Marlins?
Yeah, and I think that might be some sort of record of futility. I'm not
really
sure.
I mean, I could see that, too, because I feel like a lot of people I've heard are, like, absolutely boycotting them. It's not like they're not interested in the team.
Oh,
they're
yeah. They're
firmly
active,
boycotting,
active boycotting
the franchise.
Yeah. I think that could bode well for the Rays. Do you think you're going to get some South Florida fans kind of transferring over to Tampa Allegiance?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like if it was more convenient with, like, location wise, but I mean, isn't Tampa? I mean, I feel like there's fans, but I mean, I just feel like Florida in general is just it hasn't brought out the best of baseball fans. You just got a lot of retired people down there, and
right.
The fan base is, well, you look at the Heat, it's a very fickle fan base. I mean, the Heat fans don't show up until, like, the third quarter. So, I mean, if you have the best team in the league and you can't get them to even show up on time, I mean, clearly you've got some below-average fans.
I hate the Heat so much. God, they make me mad.
That's
for another podcast, but...
Yeah. I mean,
do you
want
to make a board bet on attendance, or
I mean... You're. I mean, I'd take the under on 1.12. I mean, do we want to set?
I would make it a million.
And you think it'll be under a million?
Yeah, I'm willing to risk it. I think it's going to be pathetic.
Okay, I'll take the over just because I want to believe that if they, you know, at least if anything, they're going to have some crazy publicity stunt that Jeffrey Lurie is going to do to get people to show up. Yeah, I'll take that. Why not?
Let's make it 1 million and 0.5 fans, so there's no ties.
Okay. Just in case there's not 1 million fans on the dot.
Exactly.
In which case, I would fly down to Miami and go to a game just for the sport.
Oh, man.
With Stan, I mean, is there any... I'd like to get a bet down on him somehow of home runs. I mean, what are you comfortable, you know, setting the bar at?
48.
48, and you take the under?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm not giving you any easy ones, Clay.
You aren't giving me any leeway here? Well, this is a prime case of last year. I probably would have... I mean, how about, like, a stolen base home run, like, combo? I mean,
you love those for some reason. You have one on Jonas Cespedes, too. Why do you like those so much? You always lose those.
Because this is last year, I had a McCutcheon one. I was way too bullish on him last year. But I mean, this is a power speed kind of league. Like those are the premium stats.
No,
so I like to keep track of those premium stats.
Either take it or leave it. 48 homers. I'm not appeasing you right now.
You can't give me a 48 steals and home runs combo, and we can just lock that in.
How many stolen bases did you have last year?
He had six.
Well, if you're going to add stolen base in there, just make it an even 50, and I'll take the under.
50, and you'll take the under?
Yeah.
All right, fine. Let's do this, Giancarlo. Let's dance.
All right, Stanton, over 50, homers, plus steals. All right.
All right.
You got Chase Headley will not be a top five third baseman next season, and total fantasy points.
Yep.
This is an interesting one because I believe he's not my boy. He's on my team.
He's on your team, so he's automatically your boy.
I have my doubts. What was he last year?
He was five on the dot.
I thought he was no. He was two last year. He was only behind Miguel.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And
I'm
I think,
projections.
Yeah, this year in ESPN Fantasy, he's projected to be five on the dot behind Cabrera, Wright, Longoria, Beltre, ahead of...
Well, I was right on par setting the benchmark with this one, so... This is a stand-by-your-boy kind of moment right here.
I know. I'll take it. Why not?
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Put it on the board.
He will be a top five. Put it on the board. John Lester will have more than 185 strikeouts and 13 wins. Definitely taking that for both of those reasons.
Okay.
That's an easy one. Ian Kinsler will have less than 450 at-bats.
You know how those at-bats fluctuate for that man, so I'm willing to...
Know.
I'm thinking this is a down year on his health.
I don't... I'm just not going to take it because it's... That's so...
You don't know enough about it.
It's so volatile. It depends on too many things. You think Troy...
All right, well...
I think Troy Tulo is going to have more than 500 at-bats, though. That's interesting.
You do?
No, that's what you think. You think Troy is going to have more than 500.
That's one I'm definitely willing to stand on. I think that's one his... injury history is more cyclical. So this could be enough year for him, or it could be another down year. But I'm willing to stand by this is going to be a year he plays.
That's basically betting, will he spend one or two trips on the DL? I'm not going to take that either, because I think it's about time that he's had another good year. You think Desmond Jennings is going to have over 50 steals and homers combined? I think that's a given. I think this is his year to kind of come out of the woodwork. What is
I mean,
with you and these stupid combinations? I don't know what it is. They rub me the wrong way.
You're not loving the stolen base and home run combo?
No. I don't. Well, it's fine, but it just makes me mad because it's harder to predict.
I don't want to throw softballs to you, you know, just because I won last year doesn't mean I'm just going to give you this year.
Oh, my God. You should not have won. What did he have? Last year he had 13 bombs and 31 steals in 132 games. No, I think he surpasses that because he's going to play the whole year. And that power is going to come around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they traded BJ up, and he's got center field to himself. And
yeah, it's his. It's his. One thing I do want to point out right now, what an awesome move not re-signing Carl Crawford by them. Like, it was kind of a given just because, you know, they didn't have the money and it was too big of a risk. But everybody's thinking, wow, the Red Sox got their outfielder of the future, the power speed guy, and he goes and gets Tommy John as a fielder. Like,
yeah, I know.
What,
you never hear that.
Me? But
crazy.
Just my little bit. I think, you know, not re-signing B.J. Upton was the obvious thing to do there, especially with Will Myers waiting in the wings.
You can't talk enough about the Tampa Bay Rays organization. I mean, I wish I lived in that area so I could be a diehard fan of them, because they're an exciting team all the time, and the way their organization's set up, they're going to be successful.
No, they... I don't know. They're a perfect framework for an organization that's a little bit strapped for cash. I just love their management, and obviously you love Matt Moore. I love Jeremy Hellickson, and and everybody loves Evan Longoria. So
they're a pitching factory. Look at their farm system again. I mean, they've got Chris Archer. They got the guy that picked up the Taylor Guerrero guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard things about this Eni Romero guy who's got really good raw stuff too.
Didn't they get Jake Odorizzi too from the Royals?
They got Jake Odorizzi
and,
too. Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, Mike Montgomery. So, God, I don't know. I don't know how they do it, but. Moving on, this is to the other stolen base and homer combo. You think Cespedes is going to have over 50 stolen bases and homers combined? I was just looking at his stats. Let me pull them up.
I'm a Jonas believer, man. I think this guy can hit.
I think he's the real deal, too. I think the A's made an awesome signing. That was kind of out of nowhere. You never really expect the A's to be a big player in an international market situation like that. But, I mean, he had 23 bombs and 16 steals. I'll take that one. I don't think his speed is going to develop anymore, and I think he could hit 30 homers, but I don't see him stealing 20 bags. So
okay. Now the more I look at it too, I think it'll be close, but I'm willing to stick with it. Let's do it.
All right. This is a fantasy league
specific
board bet. Yes, our fantasy league, Lions Legends. You think Pat Hayes is going to have more than four trades within the first month of the fantasy season? Now, this is an interesting one because he is notorious for making deals left and right and just blowing up his entire team multiple times in a season.
Exactly.
However, this past offseason, he dealt most of his major league talent away for young stud prospects. I think who does he have right now? Myers, Bundy,
Tavares.
He has Tavares too?
Yeah,
Tavares, Bogarts, Zunino. Oh, he doesn't have... Oh, no, Bundy's on his big league squad. So, yeah, Myers, Tavares, Bogarts, Zunino, Castellanos, Sanyo, Walker, and Wheeler. I mean, and Shelby Miller is on his major league squad right now. So,
and he's got Tyler Skaggs, too. So.
And Skaggs. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And every time I've talked to him, he refuses to deal some of these guys because he has this vision where he has Myers, Tavares, and Trout in his outfield, Bogaerts at shortstop, Zunino behind the plate, and then Walker, Wheeler, Miller, Bundy in his rotation. And it is awesome if those guys pan out, but he is refusing to trade them, which is weird for him. But I've been saying the whole winter, there's no way he has the patience to sit around and watch his team, you know, lose 80% of his games because most of his talent's in the minor leagues. I think he's dealing it away and getting studs back, but
So you want to take me up on the over? Are you going to
take I don't think he makes those moves until after the first month. I don't know.
Well, I'm sure he'll listen to this and do it. Hang on to his guys just to spite me. But
I'll take that deal. Yeah. I'll take the board bet because I think he makes.
Okay.
I think he makes less than four trades in the first month.
All right. Well.
You think Paul Goldschmidt will be a top 35 fantasy hitter?
I do.
I'm intrigued by that.
I can't remember if top 35 puts you on the first page.
They redid the fantasy page this year. It's actually, I think it's 50 now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so,
oh, yeah, it did get bigger. I'm still, you know, top 35. I'm a believer in Goldie.
Man, top 35. One DL stint pretty much takes him out of that competition.
Probably.
I'll take that bet. I'll take it. I don't think he's a top 35 guy.
Okay.
You think... Oh, another fantasy bet.
Another fantasy specific?
Another fantasy specific. You think Peter Letart, fantasy newcomer from 2 years ago, he will have more than 8 wins. What do we got, 20 weeks in the season?
Yeah.
And he won... What did he win last year?
I'm going to pull it up right now.
I think he won 12, but...
He won 11 games. He was 11-9 last
year. By far the luckiest one because he was the second lowest scorer in the league. More than 8 wins, so he wins at least 9? I'll take that. I don't think he wins 9. I think he wins exactly 8.
Okay.
I'm pulling for
you, Big Pete, telling me down.
Victor Martinez... won't be on the first page for fantasy hitters this year. So, let's make that a number specific. Do you think he's going to be not going to be a top 35 hitter?
Yes, I don't think he's going to be a top 35 hitter.
I don't think so either. I think he'll be top 50 if you want to make that.
Top 50. I'll make you budge a little bit. I'd stand pat at top 45.
48.
45.
No, I'm not taking it. Can't do it.
You're going to leave that on the table for 3 spots for a guy on your team. I feel like your team bias could move you.
He's a line drive guy now. He's not going to hit as many bombs. He's going to hit 310, but I mean, most of his stuff is going to be RBIs and singles. That's
47 and a half.
Shut
I'll
up.
Take you over.
No, I'm insulted by you. I don't like your negotiation tactics.
Well, I thought we weren't going to go with ties here, so that's why I'm saying 47 and a half instead of 48.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Don't get so defensive on me, Ed, because I'm making you
Okay, fine.
Move
so
around.
You think V-Mart will be a top... Or, I'm sorry, not... I'm writing this down. Not a top 47 and a half player.
Yep, he's going to be the best top 48 player in the league.
Yeah, all right, I'll take that. Fine, 47 and a half.
You'll like this one. You got to take this next one. This is where you got to. This is one of your better hitters, Jay Bruce.
Okay,
hold on.
No. Stop it right now. He is one of. He's not the worst hitter on my team, but I've got some studs on my team, Scott. Jay Bruce does not crack the top 5 hitters on my team. I don't think.
Boy, so you're just saying you're top heavy then?
I'm saying that my team is incredible, and I can't wait for the season to start.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here first from the horse's mouth. My team is awesome. So you think Jay Bruce is going to hit under 255 again? Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's look at these numbers. Last year, hit 252. I'm looking up his his career numbers.
He's a career 255 hitter, so all he has to do is beat his career average.
All right, yeah, I'm absolutely taking that. I think.
All right.
I mean, the dude is, he's 25. He's turning 26 in April. I mean, he's hitting his prime. He's hitting for average this year. You think Strass, Steven Strasburg, another one of my studs on my fantasy team. You think he's not gonna be in the top three for Cy Young voting this season?
That's right.
I think he is, and I don't think it's necessarily because he's going to be a top three pitcher in the league, but I think there's going to be so much excitement behind him because this is the first year that the reins are getting taken off, so to speak, and people are going to be talking about him as an early favorite, so he's already going to be in that conversation. He's not going to need a lot of momentum at the in the middle or the end of the year, so I think I'm taking that. Couldn't you see him taking home the hardware? Like, who are the, if he finished fourth, who are the top three in the league then?
Verlander, Kershaw, David Price.
Well, is this, wait a minute. There's one for the National League and one for the American League. So, I mean, Kershaw, yes, in the National League. Matt Cain?
I guess I didn't think about, I just meant like top three pitchers just in the league, but they don't do like an MLB side.
No.
But, man, that's tough then. Well, Clayton for sure. I mean, Matt Cain could be up in there this
Granky,
year.
Granky could.
Granky's in there. Yeah, I mean.
It's going to be close. It's going to be a good battle. There's a lot of talent in the National League this
year. I mean, are we sticking with our no ties here? Do we want to go 2.5?
Well, it's either he is top three or he's not. Like, it's either he's three or four. Like, it. You said he's not in the top three, so if he finishes in the top three, I win. If he finishes four below, you win.
Four. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. All right. You think Posey, Buster Posey, another stud on my fantasy team. Thanks for highlighting my team, Scott. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I know. No problem. This was just an opportunity and a platform for you to show off your team.
You think he's going to have less than 100 RBIs? I'm not taking it because I think he's going to be right at that threshold, and I don't feel confident either way.
Like, what about 95?
Well, the only thing, I could see him anywhere between 90 and 110.
Well, we're going to, this is the board bet. We're going to, we don't play within a 20-point spread here. We need to throw our, you know, sabermetrics, whatever you use. I need some more pinpoints. So you throw me out a number where you're comfortable at, and we'll try to wiggle our way to a board bet.
All right. Well, I say he's going to have more than 90.
All right. Well, definitely. I mean, he's their big hitter in their lineup. So, I mean, was he hit like 3-hole for them?
I think he's 3-hole. Yeah, Panda 4.
If you have a team that's contending, that's been in the World Series, if your 3-hole hitter doesn't have more than 90 RBIs, you're probably having a terrible season.
That's not true. He had 103 last year in an MVP campaign where he hit 336. I mean, he should have had like 120 last year. They're just not a big scoring team. They rely on their pitching. I mean
I'm gonna stick at 95 right here, and I think it's either a take it or leave it kind of.
92.
I'm sticking at 95, so we either move on.
I'll take 95. I'll take
95.
You think he has less? You think he has less than 95 RBIs? All right.
Yep.
Fine. Deal. Put on the board.
Put it on the board.
You think Brandon Morrow has more than 200 Ks? Yeah. Obviously, that's gonna happen. I don't like betting on Brandon Morrow because I don't like him as a pitcher. I just think he's like one of those guys who's always a sleeper, but he's somehow still overrated as a sleeper. I don't even know how to explain it, but I just don't like him. Here's one of your guys, Scotty, as Drubal Cabrera. You think he's going to have at least 20 home runs and 80 RBIs. What did he hit last year? 24 homers?
16 and 68.
16?
Yeah. His big year was the year before that. So he had a downer year last year, but I'm feeling
okay.
Fiona is going to want to make his trade value skyrocket a little bit. So I'm feeling a nice bounce back here out of old Drubal.
Is he in the last year of his contract or something, or are they just going to get rid of him, open the door for...
Well, I mean, he was stepped around this offseason for sure. I mean, I think they're going to hold on to him. I think Tito's going to work his magic, and we're going to see some fireworks fly out in the old Cleve.
Man, he did have what do you have? Yeah,
two years,
25 and 92. Yeah, I'll take it, because I think, well, you know what? Actually, they got Michael Bourne now scoring runs. He's going to hit ahead of Cabrera.
Let's do it, Ed. It's Ozdrubal Cabrera here.
Make it 22 homers.
No, I'm making it 20.
God, you're terrible. then budge on the RBIs and make it 85.
I'll make it 83.5, and you can take the over.
I don't want the over. I'm taking the under on both of these.
Oh, the under. I'm sorry. The under. 83.5.
Okay. Yeah, 83.5. That's a deal. So, and on both of these with, on these bets where we have two, you have to get both right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you even get one of those wrong, I win the bet.
Yeah, it's an all or nothing kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we're going a little bit long here, so we're going to have to split this into a two-part podcast. Join us for part two, where Scott and I will talk a little bit about Yu Darvish, Mike Trout, and I'll tell a story of when I met Mr. Bryce Harper. Thanks for listening. Once again, this is In the Loop with Ed Edens, and we'll see you back for part two.